A reading from the book of Genesis. The span of Sarah's life was 127 years. She died in Kilhabra, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham performed the customary mourning rites for her. Then he left the side of his dead one and addressed the Hittites. Although I am a resident alien among you, sell me from your holdings a piece of property for a burial ground, that I may bury, my dead wife. After the transaction, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in a cave in the field of Malapai, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham had now reached a ripe old age, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Abraham said to the senior servant of his household, who had put all of his possessions, "Put your right hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not procure a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but that you will go to my own land and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land? Should I then take your son back to the land from which you migrated?" "Never take my son back there for any reason," Abraham told him. "The Lord, the God of heavens, who took me from my father's house and the land of my kin, and who confirmed by oath the promise he made to me, I will give this land to your descendants. He will send his messenger before you, and you will obtain a wife for my son there. If the woman is unwilling to follow you, you will be released from this oath. But never take my son back there." A long time later, Isaac went to live in the region of Negev. One day toward the evening, he went out in the field. As he looked around, he noticed the camels were approaching. Rebekah, too, was looking about. And when she saw him, she alighted from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is the man out over there, walking through the fields toward us?" "That is my master," replied the servant. Then she covered herself with her veil. The servant recounted to Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac took Rebekah into his tent. He married her, and thus she became his wife. In his love for her, Isaac found solace after the death of his mother, Sarah. The word of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Who can tell the mighty deeds of the Lord or proclaim all his praises? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Blessed are they who observe what is right, who do always what is just. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Visit me with your saving help, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, rejoice in the joy of your people, and glory with your inheritance. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at customs post, and he said to him, "Follow me." He got up, and he followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The Gospel of the Lord. And so we come back to the mercy principle, the mercy teaching, and where people go crazy. And I just know, for me, I need to constantly be learning. And like I said, when I was at Emmaus, there was a professor there that taught us, and I just sat there and kept shaking my head thinking, how come I don't know this? How come I don't know this? What's going on? And so we have to, first of all of us, be people who are learning and desire to learn. Not like, no, shut up, I've already learned all this. You know, might as well just go and die. Shut up. Everybody that's alive, God wants to teach you something, just so you know. And so what does he say to, what does he want us to learn? He says, go and learn the meaning. It's mercy I desire, not sacrifice. So first of all, we got to make sure that we know that for ourselves, that God wants to give us mercy. We have to experience mercy. And then, instead of judging others, we need to be reaching out to others with the mercy of God. Why is this? Because we want them to come to conversion. Why is this, and how does this happen? Conversion happens through relationship. It doesn't happen through teaching, right? Alone, anyway, we have to be in relationship before we can teach. But what we got to do is we enter in and have table fellowship with someone the way Jesus did. So we build this relationship with them, and then we share with them the power of God. The reason things don't work in our society and our church right now is we throw commandments to people who have never experienced being set free from their slavery, who have no relationship with God. The only thing we do is try to scare them. You either do this or you will go to hell forever. And they say, all my friends will be there. I think I'll go to hell. But if they're in relationship with Jesus, we can get them to do anything. So today, Jesus is teaching us again, this is what I want you to learn. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Let's receive that mercy. Let's give that mercy and allow people who don't know it to receive it. May you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let's stay